This is the Coronation post-game reaction kind of thing that we do after our loss to Purdue. If that rhymed, I didn't mean it intentionally. It was just how the words came out. Because I really don't have anything to say. This is your host, John Johnston, joined by Mike Jackson and Nate McHugh, who both write for our site. No, I don't know where to go with this. Do you guys know where to go?
Next year.
I was hoping that you could give us some advice, some guidance.
Next year.
I don't think that my guidance would be toward alcoholism. Probably, it's not good advice. It's really not. This was a game Nebraska needed to win to get to a bowl game. Honestly.
Coulda and shoulda.
Yeah. There were so many things left on the field.
You know, I really think Scott Frost got to take a look at, you know, if he's too loyal to certain players especially if the season's lost. You know, you expect he maybe could get a win against Maryland. And then
you hope to get a win against Maryland.
Yeah. At this rate, I wouldn't expect it. And then maybe you upset Iowa, and that's your only chance at a bowl. But, I mean, if the season's lost, then you got to get some other guys some experience. Or I don't know. It's the frustrating thing. You know, Haas is really upset about the defense. And for me, Adrian Martinez, besides running the ball in the second half for the two touchdowns, he really struggled. And I don't know if I was a teammate and I, you know, look at Coach Frost and say, hey, you know, we got a backup quarterback that seemed to look pretty good last week, you know, if he's healthy. And but then, you know, Frost is probably playing the long game with Martinez, doesn't want to mess up his mental state, you know, looking towards next year, I guess. I don't know.
Well, but let's also think for a minute here that you know, both of those quarterbacks last week left the game with injuries. And the Vedrill that came in late was not the Vedrill that started the game, because he was passing, throwing the ball only. So I'm not convinced that if what would have happened if, let's say, God forbid, Martinez would have had a concussion, or if that shoulder injury that we thought was bad, who would have been in? It could have been Bunchy. I mean, I don't know, but you know, the one thing I think that I probably, my biggest takeaway besides what happened on the field was watching, you know, seeing tweets from guys like Tommy Frazier basically calling for the quarterback to be benched, and I think there's an undercurrent here that I don't think we've learned any of our lessons over the last few years. You know,
what's that mean?
What does that mean? Well, I think I think everybody thinks that. Has been hoping that this thing would just be, Mike Riley was a complete idiot, and, you know, Frost was just going to walk in here, and we were going to be winning, we'd win 7-8 games last year and 9-10 this year, and we got some big holes in this program. And yes, Martinez isn't playing as well, but we've got a friggin' wide receiver who's our primary I-back now, because for one thing or another, not everything is falling into place right now. So we're having this. So Frost is having to scramble, and I think some of his scramble moves today were counteractive. The idea of Wandale Robinson, what is he, 170 pounds, being your primary I-back is insane. And he was dinged up, so guess what? At the end of the game, when you need, you know, you're in your last critical situation, he's standing on the sideline. He's waving his arms like he wants to be in there, which is fine and good. But if he wasn't able to go out there and do that, well, that's a situation you need the guy out there for. And when you run that guy between the tackles as your primary eye back all the time, and you get the guy dinged up that he can't do the things that he needs to, that he can do. I mean, you look at his rushing stats today; those weren't all that impressive there either. So it's like this offense is a kind of a discombobulated mess. Some of that is forced by circumstance and how the, you know. But I think I think the coaching staff has made some. Has tried to work around that and just made some really awful choices there that, in hindsight, aren't working out as well. Wandale's a hell of a weapon, but you can't have him being your primary eye back.
And your primary receiver at the same time.
Right. I mean, you saw a few things today. Kind of like Noah started to make some plays. That was a positive sign. J.D. Spielman was involved quite a bit today. That's great. But Martinez was off. Whether it's rust, whether it's, the whole season he's thinking too much or whatever else, he missed open receivers. And just make one of those plays. Or don't throw the ball into double coverage like down by the goal line. I mean, as soon as he threw I think I was yelling, oh no, as soon as the ball hadn't even left his hands on my screen, since I was streaming, it was long over. But I knew that thing was getting picked as he went back to throw, because you could see he was throwing it into a bad situation. And like I said, this thing is a mess right now. I think we've got the aspects there, but I think Frost maybe is out thinking himself on what his offense needs right now. He had a great game last week, but this week,
I mean, we just lost to a Purdue team that was 2-6. They were missing. They're more banged up than we are.
Oh yeah. They finished the game with their third string quarterback.
Yeah, and he won the game for him.
Now, yeah. Granted, they didn't make him do a lot of things. They were doing some of the things that Frost trying to do, giving him some safe throws. But our safe throws are those swing passes that sometimes turn into losses because they're not even forward, anything close to forward.
Nate, what do you think?
I think I don't have a lot to disagree with what Mike said. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, I just really expected better this year. And I wasn't a guy that was expecting 10 wins. I think I said 7. I think seven or 8. And I thought, the expectations we had going into this year were unrealistic. But the one thing that I can maybe go back to is that 2017 recruiting class, I think right now is killing us. And I'm not trying to, pile on Mike Riley or anything, but I think we have 3 players from that class that are contributing. And those are your juniors now, or redshirt sophomores. And so now we got guys that probably shouldn't be playing, or he's redshirting a bunch of his true freshmen that they keep on talking about how much they could contribute. But I think they are so invested in keeping that redshirt that, having said all that, I expected the offense to look a lot better. And I don't know if it all started from the South Alabama game with a bad snap, but it's almost like it's a mental thing for Adrian Martinez. All year long, I don't know if he's trying to get in the NFL or something, but like his unwillingness to, at times, today he did a little bit more, but to go get 5 yards for a first down. So I think we had that the third and six play today where he threw it, and I think they called a holding or
it was a fourth down play, yeah.
It was a fourth down. And you could see Frost even goes up and tells him, you have 15 yards of green in front of you. Just run. And I think that wasn't – Martinez didn't do that last year. I think – I'm talking about the mental issues. So I don't know if he's – like Mike said, like he's thinking too much or what the issue is. But, it seems like whatever can go wrong for this offense is going wrong. And I don't know. I don't know if we're just that's kind of – I'm just disappointed in the offense and – I would say that, the quality of play on the defensive side, some players regret, like Muhammad Berry is, he wasn't that great.
He's probably, if you want to say a player has regressed more than Martinez, Muhammad Berry would be, he was a team leader, and you could tell that he was giving 110% every time out there. This year, there are times where I don't want to question his effort, but man, sometimes I think maybe he's trying too hard to make a play, and then he gets himself out of position. He doesn't stay in his lanes, doesn't realize where the play is, recognize where the play is going, or sometimes he bites on a fake or makes a misread or tries to be too aggressive, and it ends up being an 8, 10, 15-yard gain downfield because he didn't maintain his run fit.
Yeah. The quarterbacks and the defensive backs have actually played pretty well, but our linebackers, Will Hone, he can't cover anyone, he's running a passing route. That's another example. Nick Henrich and Jackson Hanna. I mean, supposedly Jackson Hanna, coming this year was a guy that people thought could be contributing right away, and we haven't even heard his name. We've heard Nick Henrich a little bit, but he wants to redshirt him, and maybe he's not ready. Frost says, they're not ready. But I'm like, I think you just want to save their redshirt. And I guess they could have played today, but Nick Henrich is pretty fast. And right now, Will Honus is not.
Yeah. Well, Honus, I thought Honus of the inside linebacker still impresses me more than most others. But maybe I'm just still remembering the days of Dedrick Young trying to play inside, and that's got me. that warps my perspective there. But obviously, I think defenses this year have figured out that the underlying underneath routes, sending a receiver underneath to where a Honus or a Berry have to try and cover these guys because they've cleared they've sent enough receivers deep that your safeties and corners aren't having to make that play. Those underneath routes are there all the time. And so, there you can just pick us apart.
Yeah, and then they get, then when they do catch it on the underneath routes, then we have guys coming up to make tackles, not like, I would say in basketball terms, like closing out, and they just dive at them, and we get a missed tackle, and then they go 15 more yards. And that's, you can't just go at them like a missile because if you miss, then there's, like I said, 15 more yards. And so it's things that just continue to compound and compound on both sides of the ball. And, I kind of joked earlier in the game that, a headline of the article is going to be a two-win Purdue gets their third against Nebraska. Purdue's not very good. Their two quarterbacks look, against our defense, they look like they could be, pretty good quarterbacks going down the road. Maybe they would be.
But let's also keep in mind that the defense made a few plays early on in the game. And yes. if the offense capitalizes on half of, you know, and goes up, let's just say it, 21-0 on
yes,
them.
I agree.
You know, are we even having this conversation here? Because that puts them in a sense of panic. I mean, you've got the ball. You know, Daniels makes a great play. We almost had the fat guy touchdown. We would be rolling all week with, you know, okay, got tackled at the 3. Okay, fine. I said, okay, we just hand off to Mills 2 or 3 times. We're going to get that darn thing getting in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And what do we do? Out comes Wandale. We try an ill-advised shuffle pass that probably could have just as easily gone 7 the other way. And then we tried another hurry-up thing, and boom, 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 and we kick a field goal. That should have been 7. Should have had, you know, there should have been more points, and you put your foot down on the you make those plays earlier in the game. You know, maybe the defense is more motivated. I would say, I don't want to say the word motivated because that implies that they weren't motivated, but they've got, they feel like everything is rolling. And they've got this enthusiasm that they block kicks, they force interceptions, and the offense didn't capitalize on them, and suddenly they found this thing. And you know, there's something. Let's look and to show the effects of this thing. Let's look at what happened to Wisconsin the last couple of weeks, where defense has looked amazing all season, but that's because their offense grinds the ball out, you know, 6-7 minute drives. You know, so they have plenty of time to relax, and they just come out there and they play their asses off for 2 minutes. They get a 3-and-out, or maybe, you know, give up a first down or two, and then they rock off the field and get another 5 minute breather. And they don't have to show much of their cards. But then suddenly things break down. They start turning the ball over against Illinois. The defense has to be out on the field longer. Wisconsin falls apart. Against Ohio State, they gave Ohio State everything they had that first half, you know, and had a, you know, yeah, they were trailing 10-0, but then all of a sudden that second half, whoop. You know, the gas tank went to empty, and Ohio State blew them out down the stretch. You can't. This isn't like, you know, when in 1999. I'm really dating myself here. When Nebraska had one of the greatest defenses in the country that year, and their offense, you know, kept turning the ball over. You know, if they could just say, okay, defense, all right, well, here we go again. We'll just go out there and get another turnover, force another 3-and-out, we'll give it to the offense another shot. We don't have that team yet. And so the defense needs something good to happen. The offense needs something good to happen. And, dadgum, we just can't find something good to happen. So you're finding more ways to screw this thing up.
So you're saying they're codependent.
Yes. Because the defense made some plays early today that should have given the team and allowed the Huskers to take a commanding lead in that game. That didn't happen. The offense made some plays early, but then it kind of They kind of pooped themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then after a while, I mean, there's one positive I can take out of today's game is that all season long, the third quarter, they come out of the third quarter, and crap happens. You know, the team seemed to make, the opponent made adjustments. Nebraska made didn't make adjustments. They just made adjustments that didn't seem to work as well. This week, they came out, and they, I would argue, they kind of won that third quarter. But
You know, they only gave up 3 points.
They only picked up 3 points, but they also didn't give up anything more than 3 points. So, I mean, I consider that kind of, you know, you say, okay, that's kind of a moral victory there. But if you look at some other third quarters this season where the game got out of control on them in the third quarter.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier about how it could have been 21-0, because it's true, the defense, I mean, if you're in a game and the defense gets 2 interceptions and one of them, you know, it could have been the fat guy touchdown, and then the special teams blocks 2 kicks, you should win that game. And like you said, it could have been 21-0. And that reminds me of Colorado. We're up 17-0, and if we score in the second half, like right away, the game's over. And it's probably going to be 24-0. Colorado gives up, and it's just like today. In this case, we had an opportunities that if we would have capitalized on at least one of them, you know, that's a totally different game. And that's just been like the theme for this year maybe, is just not capitalizing on opportunities.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Okay, so that's enough of this, the post game. I don't want to call this the end of the season, but there are so many people I can tell from traffic on our website and interest in our website. What do you think Nebraska fans are going to do for the rest of the season?
next week, or two weeks from now, I half wonder how many of them are going to see how many Badger cheeseheads are going to are wanting to come to spend a weekend in Lincoln. But
well, that's an interesting point.
But I'll be quite honest. I mean, we sat through that Mike Rutt. You know, there are plenty of people that gave it a good shot against. In 2017, but I mean, Nebraska staring down another 4-win season, and
it's not good, is it?
It's not good. I mean, it's
well, that'd be 3-4-1 seasons.
I talked to somebody on the field when I was at Minnesota, and you know, the guy is a content producer. That's all I'll say. And I said, I looked at him, and I said, this is turning into this kind of season where media companies go bankrupt in Nebraska. And he looked at me, and he had this look on his face, and he goes, yeah, it is, John, because there's so much, you know, when we do this stuff, you know, for you guys that are listening, I realize you're all fans and everything, but you have, you know, you have your Omaha paper, you have the Lincoln Journal Star, but you have all these other people that, like, do shit like – sell T-shirts and balloons, and I don't know what else they do. You know, they sell whatever they sell. This is going to hurt those people unbelievably bad because it's going to be the third year in a row, and it's going to lead to apathy, and it's going to lead to a very interesting offseason. And I don't mean an offseason that is interesting to any of you as fans, but it's going to be certainly interesting to me as a guy who runs a website because – I'm still going to be here because I'm mentally ill, and secondly, because I run a website, and third, because it's going to be interesting to see this last season, you know, or this season, people have become very angry at our media, very angry at our coach for, you know, fake news and unrealized prayers and hype. And it's going to be very interesting to see, I guess, for me personally, maybe nobody else, but to see how people react to, or are we going to drink the Kool-Aid when it comes into the next offseason? And I hate to say that. We still have games to play. Somehow, miraculously, we could get our shit together and get to a bowl game. It doesn't look possible now, but oh, my God. How did we get here?
Well, I must say one thing about that, those preseason expectations, is that when we were looking at this, when I was looking at the season, I said, okay, you got six teams in the Big Ten West and then Illinois. And there was an argument to be made for any one of them, not named Illinois, to win the West. I wasn't a big believer in Minnesota, and frankly, coming out of their preseason where they had to scramble to beat a FCS school and needed to convert a fourth down and fourth and long in the last minute to send against Fresno to go to overtime, and another sloppy game against Georgia. You know, they didn't look like a top 25 team. I'm still not sure they're a top 25 team, but okay, they're undefeated. And then they cream Maryland and Rutgers. Well, you know, that doesn't really prove a lot either. But okay, so Minnesota's up at the top. Wisconsin has impressed me the most, but, I mean, there was just as many, for as much stuff as Nebraska has screwed up on this year, there are schools like Minnesota and whatever, and I would say Iowa to some extent, that have scrambled to make the thing. I don't feel bad about saying, could Nebraska have won the Big Ten West in the was I that far off? Well, the thing I was wrong underestimating the things that Nebraska have an issue with, but I don't think I was misjudging the rest of the Big Ten West either. I think Nebraska was probably there was just as much reason to pick Nebraska in the preseason. I don't think it was so much a misread on that. It was just that the West was just such a
jump ball.
A jump ball that you knew somebody was going to step up and do it. And like I said, I said the only thing I feel confident about is saying that Illinois isn't going to finish in last place. Well, I think, although it looked a little silly there about 3-4 weeks ago, I think that's about the only thing I can say. I think that wasn't necessarily a wrong prediction. But, and I'm not going to throw in the towel on this program either, because at a certain point in time, we all know that there are holes in this roster. Frost has done, tried to scramble to fill those holes and has come up and frequently came up crappers. But at some point in time, if he's recruiting the way I think he is, there's going to be some players around in the next year or two that we can throw in there that will may not necessarily get us to a win over Ohio State, but should at least allow us to beat a Purdue.
Oh, my God, that's where we're at. Nate, do you have any final words?
I guess when it comes to the preseason expectations, I fought it all offseason long, to the point that some of our commenters thought I was one of the more negative guys on the staff. And so, and even though I was trying to fight those expectations, I'm still disappointed. You know, and I've already said that. I don't know.
Anybody who looks at it has to be disappointed.
Yeah. I would feel better if I could pinpoint the issues. And I don't know if maybe there's so many issues that you can't, clamp a couple down, but because, you can say, oh, it starts with the offensive line. Okay. Oh, wait. Also, by the way, wide receiving core. We got maybe, one guy, and then, we have.
But you sent out your best receiver out to play running back. all the time.
Yes, and yep. And we got tight ends that who at least for this game are getting open, but our quarterback can't find them. Then you go to the other side of the ball. You got linebacker issues. We can't generate a pass rush. It's just, our kicking game. I mean, just think about that. Like the beginning of the year, we ran out. We had two injured kickers, and we brought a guy who played to come to play safety here from Air Force, and he's kicking for us. And I know it's just like we just need to get through this year, and I guess and then hope for for better things going forward with all these kids that are redshirting. Hopefully, they're the real deal. And I guess, one last thought, maybe a positive thought, is, Frost is playing the long game. And
yeah. And we, and fans and the media need to also be taking the long game and
Mike, our media doesn't have a long game.
Well, I understand why it sell. That doesn't sell papers. It doesn't generate clicks. It doesn't generate ratings on talk shows.
10% of those guys will be gone in 3 years.
But we're running the risk of the same thing we did earlier this decade. And I'm going to say something very controversial here. And that is, go back and read that transcript of Bo Pelini in that locker room. Exercise, take out the part where Pelini starts saying naughty words about to describe the previous athletic director, and focus on how difficult we make it for our coaches and our players to succeed. When we've got a guy who should have won his own Heisman Trophy out there openly criticizing the starting quarterback, we've got a problem there. That's not going to help. That doesn't help anything here. I'm not saying we have to tell everybody, say sunshine and lollipops here, but let's let this thing play out a little bit longer before we start calling for hatchet jobs, especially in the middle of the season, because we're not going to fire anybody. We're not benching people or whatever else. All that does is make people who are already timid and kind of not making great decisions, distracting them even further. We can make this a lot worse by making a lot of noise that we demand changes. Well, we've made a lot of changes, but now at first time we just kind of have to sit back and let this process work its way out. If we, we have to depend on Frost to take an honest look at what he's doing after the Iowa game. Maybe he's already thinking about that stuff, but again, he can't do anything. That would be a sign of panic to have him say, "Oh, you know what, Eric Chenander, you're done now." I mean, it worked for Minnesota last year to make change, but that's a pretty extreme step. And I don't know that you can roll that dice and just start making willy-nilly changes. I mean, how many how many people have some of these coaches, players gone through over the last few years? Especially the guys who are redshirt, the ones who are still left that are redshirt seniors, that were recruited by Pelini's guys, and retained by, and run all through the system. There's just not been any consistency in this system right now, and that was the one thing that Nebraska doesn't mean you have to be happy about what's happening. And it's okay to say this is not what we want, but we can't just say, "Oh, well, Frost and or Chenander, wrong answers. Let's hit the slot machine again and see what comes up this time."
Okay, Zach Grunder has joined us. Zach, you have 2 minutes for final thoughts.
So this is one of those games that
I take it you're not too sad to drink this time.
I'm sipping.
Okay.
sipping on some pink gin. Anyways, this is one of those games that
Nate over here killing his children in the background.
I know, sorry, guys. I'm
didn't know if you're like at a Walmart in like the child section or.
Okay, Zach, go ahead.
So this is one of those games again where Nebraska should have won, and we have the players to win. Like Indiana, like people argue against me saying that we lost, so that therefore we don't have the players to win. Like that's such utter bullshit. We have the players to win almost every game except for a couple games where we're out talented. Ohio State being a clear example of that. We have the players to win. They're not in the position to win. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They don't. If it takes one or two people on a given play not knowing what their assignment is, and then the entire play doesn't work. You give up a big run or a big pass play. You all have to be on the same schedule. They're not knowing where they are. 90% of the game football is lining up right and knowing who your assignment is. That's 90% of the football. The rest of it is just tackling or breaking tackles. That's all, really. And we're not doing that. And after the bye week, Scott Frost had mentioned going back to basics. His team can't do anything basic at all. He's losing games based on not tackling, not being in assignments, not the players not knowing what to do at all. There are a couple plays where the Purdue's offense were snapping the play, and our defense were still looking at the sideline. So there are fundamental problems with this team that stem at the coaching staff, and they have not fixed them all season.
I think we're going to stop there. Mike, you get anything else? Anything?
As much as it pains it, as painful it is to keep doing this, GBR, man.
Yeah, but you know what they say. The show must go on.
Show must go on, and I won't be there next week because we get to play bye. But 2 weeks from now, let's go figure out a way to go.
You know what I'm going to do next
week? Surprise some Badgers.
You know what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to go shoot the Minnesota Penn State game.
Or shoot yourself?
Maybe a player will run over me and then it'll all be over.
Hey, can we change the Coronation's logo to like a bloodied up foot with like 1,000 shots in it?
I was thinking of kitties.
You're just all shot up and bloodied.
Oh my God. Okay, that's it. That is our post-game reaction from this damn bloody shot-up foot and the bullets in the foot Purdue game. And God help us. I want you all Husker fans to remember that we love you here at Coronation, and we're here for your counseling mostly. Don't be assholes to each other. Life goes
on. We're all Husker fans. We all stick together in all kinds of weather.
What's that line from this song?
We all stick together in all kinds of weather.
For dear old Nebraska U. And it's almost basketball season. So that's it.
Look, it's a curse that we have to live with. All of us Nebraska fans, we have to live with that we're Nebraska fans, and we have to just suck it up and stop letting it ruin the rest of your day like me.
Okay.
I'm being productive.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to go get some beer.